This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, December 3rd, 2008.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. At this time, I'd like to call today's meeting to order, meeting of December 3rd, 2008, for the Employee Assembly. Now, I'd like to ask if there are any late additions to our agenda for today. Okay, with that, we're going to move right into the business of the day. We have a presentation from Dean Charlie Walcott.
Charlie? Well, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. The Official Policy Committee is dealing with the wonderful topic of the university calendar. What has happened is that the people in charge of freshman orientation have decided that they do not need a day in freshman orientation, and that prolonging freshman orientation increases the amount of partying, which has unfortunate side effects. And therefore, they would like to begin classes a day earlier on Wednesday. Now you might say, well, all right, why not just come a day later then? And the answer to that is because that would mean you come on a Saturday, and student academic services would have to pay a fortune in overtime in order to do it on a Saturday. So you got to come on a Friday. So the question is what to do about this. And I don't think there's any big problem about starting classes a day earlier. But it then raises the question of whether one could offer a compensatory day off. And I have been propositioned by the Advance Group, which is the group of folk who have this big NSF grant to increase women and minorities in the sciences. And they say you must take Labor Day off and cancel classes on Labor Day because that is a family-friendly thing to do. And you know, they have a point. On the other hand, some of the academic people say, don't you dare do that because that removes a Monday. And if you're teaching laboratories, you teach them in week-long modules. And if you give Labor Day off, that essentially takes away a whole week of laboratories. And so why don't you give them the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or an extra day in spring break? Or some hard-nosed academics have said that fall semester is short anyway by legal requirements. We only get away with it because we consider study days to be academic days. And therefore, maybe we just add one day to the calendar and don't give anybody any more days off. So this is the problem we are wrestling with. And we've deputized people to go to the various assemblies, the student assembly, the employee assembly, and so on. And so I'm here to gather comments, observations, or whatever, about the various alternatives, which I will take back to the Educational Policy Committee as we consider the various and assorted possibilities. So, question. Yes, sir.
Who are included in the they getting the day off?
Students, principally. It's an academic decision, but it's the academic calendar.
So that tends to be
clear. If students are off, then the faculty don't necessarily have to come in that day.
Hello.
Especially if they have
family.
Hi.
So has that been family-friendly solution? Was that faculty-oriented, or was that students seemingly who could disappear for the weekend and come back? What was the family-friendly part of it?
The family-friendly part is that if you are a woman faculty member with young kids at home, there's no daycare available on Labor Day, and it's really rough.
So it's friendly to the faculty,
yeah,
or the caregiver in the faculty.
But possibly also for graduate students who might have to teach in the course.
Anyone with teaching or other on-campus responsibilities, mm-hmm, yeah, on that day. We might have caregiving, the family, elder care, child care, whatever it might be.
Well, not only that, but you realize
that Labor Day is an important day. It's a national holiday. It is a time when families get together and go to the beach or do these things together, and we are depriving them of this ability.
This has been an argument from the faculty and the ILR school for a long time, and it seems, aside from the last Monday last issue, to be a no-brainer. Start day early, everyone gets Labor Day off. Not everyone, not the people who take care of the students and the people who work here for 24 hours. But we'll certainly solve that problem.
And two questions. Oh, well, are there other universities that teach on Labor Day or have instruction on Labor Day?
I think there are a very few that do. I think one of the issues, frankly, about giving Labor Day off to me is the students have just come, they've just started classes, and to give them a long weekend seems to me to be encouraging the very thing that getting rid of a Wednesday was supposed to discourage, you know. And so it seems to me from a student's point of view that having an extra day at Thanksgiving or an extra day for fall break would be a more desirable state of affairs than Labor Day. On the other hand, it seems very peculiar to have Labor Day be an official holiday. Staff, by and large, get Labor Day off, and faculty and students don't. And so whatever you do in this game is going to be wrong for some of
you. I've always thought it was really weird. I mean, because, you know, staff and faculty, or students and faculty, rely on staff a lot during the day, and this day you're just miraculously gone. I've been gone every Labor Day. I mean, we kind of monitor things for emergencies, but I mean, it's just really seemed kind of weird. Oh, if the lab situation is one of the biggest hurdles to taking Labor Day off, is it something that they could adjust to eventually? Like maybe, you know, you plan for it knowing that, oh, well, that week is going to be a shorter lab because you're down one day. You know, I mean, curriculums and stuff adjust a little bit for that one week.
I mean, I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, why can't you call that Wednesday a Monday, for instance, and simply have your Monday lab that Wednesday?
Oh.
Well, the answer is in biology, they say you can't possibly do that because you have to have a TA training, and TA training always takes place on Fridays. Well, why not make an exception and have that take place on Tuesday that week? I mean, you know, but I am just a messenger, and you know what happens to messengers.
I think it's great that there people are thinking about it, kind of.
I don't know the overall picture with the staff positions that would be affected, but from an employee perspective, I don't see it being any kind of burden or anything different on us for an extra day here or there. Like Jason was saying, on Labor Day, being in a support position, it is strange that staff and support roles are not at work while faculty and students are on Labor Day. And if something does go wrong, there's no one to turn to for support, which is another issue. So your options are spring.
Well, or nothing. I mean, you know, I mean, the fall semester is short by a week compared to the spring semester, and you could argue that therefore just an extra day of instruction and no extra day off. My guess is, possibly, I'm afraid of this, but my suspicion is the students will not like that suggestion and that they would like a day off. But I may be wrong. Who knows? That's why we're going around and talking with the various constituencies to try and get a sense of, you know, what are the issues and what would people prefer or what does it make sense to do. And that's why I'm very grateful to you for letting me come talk to you.
Anybody else have any inputs?
Who makes the final decision?
The final decision is technically made by the faculty in a recommendation to the provost, but you know, legally it's kind of murky. But I would say the tradition is that it's a faculty decision. Mm-hmm. But before
Brian,
we recommend, we want to, you know, get everybody
Yes, Pat.
Sorry I'm late, but I just have a quick question. Do we understand why, and this may have already been discussed, why staff have that day off and faculty and students don't?
I have no idea where that came from. I know that the reason for the instruction is that it's at the beginning of the semester, and it seemed important, particularly for courses with laboratories, to get underway with a full week.
But the staff have also, they don't have to be paid on holidays.
But staff are paid for the holidays.
If they work.
They work.
Well, they're paid as it's a paid holiday.
It's a paid holiday.
But you're not paid time and a half.
You get time and a half of comp there.
Well, Charlie,
if you work.
If the lab situation was worked out with the faculty side, and don't know exactly where to put the extra day, there could just be an extra study day, which by law would give us, it would make up for the day that's lost in academics.
That would be another.
Even if it's at the end in December, it's an extra study day.
That becomes difficult logistically with the exam calendar and various other things. But yeah, in theory, you certainly could do that. Well, if anybody has sudden thoughts about disasters which would occur as a result of this change or problems, please send me an email. And my email address is just CW38, as in Charles Walcott, 38. And I would be very grateful. And thank you so much for allowing me to come.
Charles, all the inputs going to be considered, and when is the final decision going to be made?
Oh, I would predict the final decision will be made this spring sometime after all the inputs have been gathered and it's gone to the various committees and come to the Faculty Senate and been discussed, and nothing will happen fast.
So in terms of input to you, if there are any ideas or suggestions,
I think you've got plenty of time. I don't think anything as much is going to happen until February, probably, at the very earliest.
And Charlie, when is the implementation date? Are we looking out quite a few years because we already have calendars in place, or would it happen sooner?
Well, any major change in the calendar has to happen 5 years out.
Right.
But I think this one is depending on what's been decided, not sufficiently major so that we might be able to implement it in a year or two or something. I don't know. Again, this is all under discussion. I don't see that it needs to wait 5 years. Whereas if we're going to change the date of commencement or do things that I would like to do, which is to totally revamp the calendar and go back to the old-fashioned style, which nobody likes, that clearly would take a 5-year six-year horizon.
Well, just if I can offer my thoughts as a side person on this, I think the Labor Day thing has minimal impact on the staff because they're already getting that day off anyway. So if that would be the one that students and faculty zero in on, you know, it would just be more of the same for staff, because generally if you're in housing or dining and some of the other 24-hour service things, then you might be working, but pretty much everybody else is taking it off. We're already working fall break, and so adding a day to that isn't going to have much impact, because I think we're all here this semester and we're in the flow of things. I think a greater impact would be felt if it were the day before Thanksgiving break, because that really winds things down even more the day before, and a lot of staff are coming and going around that holiday anyway. So there might be a greater impact felt that staff are still here even though we're not in session around that date. And those are just
would that be a positive impact, do you think?
I don't think so. I think the least disruptive would be to extend fall break. Personally, I think around Thanksgiving, and I saw this happen at Ithaca College, where everybody was leaving so early, they finally gave them the whole week off and really struggled with that. And I think more of the same might happen if Cornell gives Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're going to see a lot of leaking earlier in the week and more kids leaving anyway. And that might have more of an impact on staff because they're only getting Thursday, Friday. So I think the least impact is felt overall, perhaps around fall break. And whether that's Friday or Wednesday, I'm not quite sure. But those are just my thoughts.
Thank you very much. I will transmit them.
Great.
And anybody else who has any, please let me know.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to the report from the chair. Thanks to everyone who can make it today. I just want to say the employee assembly, I feel, has made some improvements on reaching out to the Cornell community and playing an important role during this economic crisis. We posted an energy fair, president's address, our cost savings forum that Beth has been very instrumental at pushing and communicating with our community. We have, this year is a little different. There's an additional number of committees that EA members are on this year than last. We have a faculty senate representative. There was the Provost Search Committee, the Cost Savings and Efficiencies Committee, the Climate Steering Committee. There's a big push for communication. We're doing it. Staff are involved, and everybody's doing a good job. Other than that, everything else, we're going to be looking at our goals later on in the meeting, and Beth is going to be giving us an update on what's happened this week. So I thank everybody for everything they've done so far this year. With that, Beth, I'll give it to you and get the report from our employee elected trustee.
I'm going to save the... Oh, it's on that agenda. I'm going to save the cost-cutting forums for the old business, and I have a trustee meeting next week, and so I will be able to report on... I have two meetings. One is Buildings and Properties Committee, followed by a four-hour executive committee meeting in which I'm an observer. And I'll have stuff to report in 2 weeks. I'm sure you know the topic.
Parking? Tunnels between the buildings?
Yeah.
Do we have any questions?
Monorail.
For Beth? Beth, thank you. We'll hear more from you later.
Yep.
Now I'm going to turn it over to our student assembly representative, Emily Kluzik.
That's
me. Sorry. I didn't mean you.
Yeah. I'm Emily. We had a meeting right before Thanksgiving, and we talked about changing the way that the financial committee, the SAFC, allows money to make it easier for both the SAFC and clubs that get money from the SAFC, and we're working on that right now. We're also working on changing the election rules for the student assembly, and most importantly, making a direct election for the president and executive vice president for the whole student body and student club, including the student government. We also had a campus life discussion about housing and design, which is really interesting, very informal, but got a lot of good feedback. And at the meeting tomorrow, I think President Burton's coming tomorrow, and so we're going to have a dialogue with him. And also upcoming is talking about parental notification for JAA, the policy for driving that.
So currently, right now, the SA votes for their officers, the executive officer. But you're looking at moving it for the entire student body to vote for that leadership.
Yeah, and that's still very tentative, but we're hoping that election will pass by the end of the semester. So,
next meeting. And regarding the JA, parental, right now, parents are not notified, is that correct?
I think.
Or
there's like one or two.
Oh, it depends on what the.
But for normal JA, I'm pretty sure not.
They're not. So, you're looking toward doing what?
I think that the teams are looking to. I'll tell you more when I report back. When we
okay.
I think
sure.
that they're trying to make it a more open process involving parents and students, but there might be resistance to that. I'm not sure. So
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
UA representative, Bill?
Yeah, Bill. We did have a meeting on November 19th. They had, actually it was a run through of six different presentations from campus planning, TAC, TEIS, project design and construction, president's climate commitment, implementation committee, and discussion on sustainability coordination. I don't have any specific to report on. The minutes are out there if anybody wants to look at them. For our own benefit, the only thing I would ever recommend is not to have six speakers in one meeting. It was definitely way too much of a rush, you know, for those folks. So there just wasn't a lot out of it. There's a lot of the information we've heard before on a very general basis. I didn't do much beyond that.
Thank you. Any questions for Bill? Okay, we're going to give the floor to Alan. Alan, do you have any updates as our representative to the Faculty Senate?
Yes, there has not been a Faculty Senate meeting since my last update.
Okay.
But at the next meeting, I should have
one. Great, thank you. We'll hand it right back to you, Bill, for an update on the Staff Climate Steering Committee.
Same update he just gave. We don't have another meeting until January, so I don't know what.
Can I just ask a question? Should it be the Staff Climate Survey Steering Committee?
Yes, should have survey in there. I didn't know. That'd be good.
Thank you.
It makes it sound bigger than the survey.
It makes it sound more impressive.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that's why I loved it. I can't. No.
Okay, we're going to move on now to the approval of our minutes from November 19th, 2008.
I'd like you to add the word survey after staff climate.
Will do.
Thank you.
Give everybody another minute to look those over. In our effort to go paperless, we ask that as these come through email, you do your best to try to look at them when you get a chance.
Can I make a suggestion that all of our committee reports be changed from nothing to report to no report?
Sure.
Because we didn't actually get to these two. It wasn't that they had nothing to report. It's just we didn't get to that on the agenda at all. Or maybe no report due to time or something.
You tell me?
Yeah. I'd say no report due to time. Good.
Okay.
Brian, I would like to make a motion that we accept the meeting minutes as modified.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Bill? All in favor to accept the meeting minutes with the modified changes?
One typo in my report under Roman numeral 11D, statement is sticking the list. Or maybe on the last list, last is fine. I withdraw. Last works fine.
Okay, any opposed? Okay, we'll approve the meeting minutes with the recommended changes. On the committee reports. Okay, moving on to the executive committee. We did meet. We spent a lot of time discussing the cost savings forum that were taking place. And we did agree that the employee assembly, it would be an event the employee assembly would support. Any other?
What's our extent of participation on the executive meeting?
To get to that, we're going to talk about it later on. Anybody else have anything they'd like to add? We spent the majority of our time preparing this agenda, which we see, and just discussing on whether the employee assembly is going to support the cost savings forums that were happening this week. And there's another one on Thursday. Do you have any questions, anybody? Okay, we'll move on to the Staff Award Recognition Committee. I'm now chairing that committee. Dennis was interim for a long time. Energy Fair is over.
I know you're all aware that our most recent awardee was Marcia Sawyer. And there's a call for nominations again out for the George Peter Award. We're going to be meeting after the winter break and choosing another candidate. Anybody have any questions for me? Jason, I'm going to turn it over to you for the communications committee.
Okay, a couple communications issues. We've discussed in a paw print meeting about some distribution issues of paw print not quite getting out to its proper locations due to bundles being just left out there drops. And yesterday at the leadership breakfast, we also heard that Chronicle is having that same issue. So I kind of want to like combine forces and see what we can do to fix these distribution problems. The Chronicle and Paw Print have both, or the Paw Print has reduced some of its printing already and may reduce it more. And the Chronicle, I don't remember, I think they said the same thing. They're looking at reducing the number of copies printed because they're seeing a lot of waste. Well, from my meeting with the Paw Print, it was really starting to see, well, some of the waste is partly because they're not getting to the proper distribution locations or getting where people can easily pick the copies up. So from the Paw Print perspective, I'd like to try to work on that so that we get the employee newspaper out and more visible. And I'd suggest to everybody on the EA to do your part. If you see a place where the papers are dropped off, see if you can just straighten up the piles a little bit, you know, or put them in the right chronological order. Just a little thing, so at least it makes the drop points a little bit more friendly. I've got some ideas on how we can improve that in the future, but I'm going to discuss it in an upcoming communications committee meeting.
What is the problem? Are they bundled and not unwrapped, or are they just...
Sometimes the papers, both papers, are delivered in bulk, bundled to a loading dock or a certain at the edge of a building or something, and it was said that sometimes the building coordinators or other people were supposed to pick up those bundles and move them inside the building somewhere. And that's not being done at certain locations. And Tommy Bruce actually gave the example that he goes to Sage where he knows the drop point is and then goes there a few days after the drop point and he finds the bundle still there. And it's bundled and no one's taking any papers out of it. So, I mean, just want to try to get this. I mean, I'm an IT guy, you know, I'm all about being digital, but I do think the qualities of paper still hold up. It's, you know, and I would just, before we like reduce our publications to the point of non-existence in paper, I would like to at least get them more distributed. There were some other things talked about in the leadership breakfast about possibly delivering them via campus mail. Or maybe an opt-in, like, hey, if you want your paw print delivered, you know, we'll send it. Or people that don't ever read it don't need to get it. And maybe possibly the same thing for Chronicle. So we're pursuing some of those things that have just come up.
Jason?
Yep?
Just a quick question. Would it be beneficial for the paw print to make a note within its publication where those drop-off points are so that... individuals who may not be familiar with those locations would at least be able to know where to go to get one?
I believe something like that was mentioned in the paw print meeting. I'd have to go back and review the notes. But I think when I want to bring this up at a future paw print editorial meeting and really focus on that and really do exactly that, review the people that are supposed to be responsible and see if maybe there's been turnover and, you know, that's just an oversight and... But I think in upcoming paw print issues, we may be printing something that says, you know, where you can pick it up or how you can help making sure the distribution gets out there.
Great. Thank you.
Another thing that has come up in the... So the leadership breakfast was really weighted on communications yesterday because we didn't have a guest speaker, so it was all about communication. One of the things that... Tommy Bruce mentioned is the idea floating around of a campus-wide email newsletter monthly that all the assemblies and different entities could get into, and I mean that just blossomed into a massive discussion on communications and pros and cons, and I think that's still a developing conversation. I've had on my mind something for a long time of the creation of kind of an EA newsletter of some sort via email that people could opt in to get some of the more intimate, juicy bits of what we're doing via email. And, you know, paw print flash is, you know, something completely different. And so this would be maybe a kind of a constituent email list that we could, after a meeting, put together a little write-up. This is what your employee assembly is doing, and, you know, if you need to get involved, and basically we opt in and we see how that goes. So there's been other conversations about this, the campus-wide newsletter. Maybe there would be a monthly broadcast of all of the potential sub-mailing lists you could subscribe to, and then people would opt into their specific channels. So we'll have to see how that goes, and I want to present this to a communications committee meeting upcoming and see what we can hash out with that.
I think
Jason?
Yep.
I would like to point out too that Cal's does an e-Cal's newsletter, and I believe that's done on a monthly basis. So I suspect that maybe some colleges are already doing something. It might be a good idea to maybe check with different colleges to see how they're doing it.
That's a good point. I know engineering has one, and CIS, where I work now, is pursuing that type of idea. And also, what you just mentioned. And but one of the things that we're also trying to focus on these email lists is, and I gave the point that, you know, when I was in engineering, I received that monthly newsletter of, you know, different tidbits of information, awards, recognitions, things going on in the college, and I don't think I've ever read through one. And, I mean, I'm just going to be perfectly honest. You know, we are living in an information overload society, and everybody gets their information in different ways. Some people like it via email, some like it newsprint, some people go out and seek websites directly. So we're going to have to learn how people are getting our information and what vehicles we can give to them, be it a website and newsletter, both RSS feeds, email list, all those different venues.
If I may, just a clarification about the idea Tommy was talking about, just to distinguish it from those newsletters, is it was an idea of having an overarching newsletter that could be customized so that you could say, I'm interested in these areas, and instead of having to subscribe to, you know, 15 different newsletters, which may or may not have topics of interest to you, which may have the same story in different places, have them aggregated in one publication that has the kind of information you're looking for, and have an EA, SA, GPSA component to that.
Yeah, well, the New York Times, if you get that online, lets you select which parts of it you want to get that email on. So you can have editorials, news, sports, finance, or any combination. So that certainly is a well-known technique and makes a lot of sense, I think, for the reader to be able to screen what parts they want to see.
And Tommy mentioned that type of capability was existing with the Chronicle, with subscribing to the certain feeds that they offer. There was by no means any decision. I mean, there were that's where this is going. I mean, there were all sorts of different technological solutions presented, and I think it would be up to a very strategic technological committee to hash out the details to come up with a final product.
Is there any indication of who the lead would be on this project? Would it be Tommy Bruce or somebody he specified? I mean, obviously we have to work in concert with, you know, the rest of the assemblies.
I don't think anyone really asked that question.
I mean, if we make a newsletter and then they make this big newsletter where you can select the sections, ours will be basically invalid. It will be a lot of time wasted.
Right.
So if we can push someone else, whoever's supposed to be in charge of this, say, employee assembly is excited about this, where's the progress on, you know, on this, maybe the student assembly and you know, everyone else kind of jumps on board too, it might give the impetus to kind of get it going.
Yeah. I think the kind of menu of options is probably a more long-term sort of solution, because I don't think we have the backend to support that right now, to be honest with you, and that everything would sit in a repository where we could pull from it based on your selections, like the New York Times, that all sits there, and if it's tagged that way, it will go, and we're not centralized enough for that. But one of the things that the grad students were talking about was the ability to send out an email once a semester, at the beginning of the semester, to all grad students saying, we will be sending out an electronic newsletter once a month and opt into it. And so with that, you only bother people once a month, or excuse me, once a semester with, do you want to be included on this? And then it's only sent to those people that actually take the step to opt in.
That's exactly.
Which might be less intrusive.
Right, that's exactly what needs to happen.
And I don't know with staff whether that might be something that's done twice a year and say, here's an opt-in for news highlights from your employee assembly. If you want it, opt in.
The other problem that I have with this newsletter thing is how are we going to kind of keep the employee assembly members kind of participating? Because I know Dennis asks me all the time to write a piece for the Pop and for the EA News and Views, and that's only every 2 weeks or whatever. And that, you know, I'm not faulting anyone, I'm just saying we're all very busy, and it's tough. Like, you know, if we had this newsletter on Wednesday, all of a sudden I tell Leon, oh, we need your little thing for this newsletter. He's like, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think it would be a challenge if we had to stick to some kind of timeline for a regular newsletter.
Well, I think as far as the EA thing, this is nothing that went to committee and is coming out. I'm just reporting into the idea in relation to a upper communication issue that we heard from the leadership breakfast. So we're going to take this, I'm going to say back to committee. We're going to start it in committee and see where we can go, but we'll bring it back to this board. Take that.
One point, too, that I would like to add is we don't want to lose sight of those staff who don't have electronic capability, you know, those that don't have access to a computer on a regular basis. I just don't want to lose sight of that, because in this age of email and electronic everything, we still have some staff that just simply don't have that capability.
One other thing that came up that it's electronic, but the places where people get their information right now are through the Chronicle and the Paw Print, through any email listservs electronically, and a lot of it comes through the CU Info homepage, and I'm planning to follow up with Tommy Bruce about that, because if we could do some sort of campaign where we get as many people as possible to set the CU Info page as a home page, it would be a way to increase people seeing information. And that's a place where EA information, like the forums, goes. So I just want to put a bug in your ear that if, in fact, he thinks that's a good idea and we come up with a strategy to do it, it would just be great if the EA could help forward that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So you're saying any Cornell computer, when you turn it on, the first thing you're going to see is the CU Info homepage?
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
It could be a promotion. Not everybody will have to do it,
right.
But there are a lot of people whose homepages are Dell. You know, when they bought the computer, it automatically goes to...
I think that's a great idea. Also, I think the New York, although Cornell might not be able to afford, but the New York Times does, they are the state of the art, and I think it's a great way, what you said, Alan, and I know Peggy said maybe the money's not there to do that now, but for those of you who haven't gone on the electronic New York Times, it is incredible, and you can select whatever you want, and it goes into a lot of detail if you want. If not, you don't have to go to all the various links. But it's state of the art. It's really great.
Thank you. We definitely have to continue. And this is for your point, Pat. The paper articles and correspondence aren't going to ever go away. There's just a mix of communication because our community is so large and they have so many different needs. There's an all staff email list. But the difficulty in communicating to everybody on that list is that we need approval and it has to be sent from some other office. So an all staff list, an additional one that can be opted out of, is the way to go, I feel, for email correspondence. Then we have access to send correspondence out
to all staff that haven't opted out and touch a lot of people without the approvals needed. So you guys are on the right path.
That's what I'm hoping for. And the last thing is I'm going to be scheduled. There will be a communications meeting coming up sometime in the next 2 weeks. It's going to go back to back with an education committee meeting.
Great, thank you very much. Any other questions or comments for Jason and Communications Committee?
Just one real quick comment, Jason. As you guys are looking at it, whether it's paper, electronic, whatever way you're communicating, just you might want to put in my 2 cents on the opt-in. Because doing communications and trying to do outreach last year and so forth, the biggest problem we had is we couldn't tell what people we were hitting at all. You'd put the popcorn out there, but you don't know who's really picking up.
Right.
The opt-in would give a lot of help in realizing, you know, are we 10% of people are interested or 50% of people are interested and so forth.
Right.
So whatever method we go with, I think the opt-in I like very much just to, you know, understanding of where our audience is and who's really listening and paying attention and so forth. And if it's real low, how do we change it?
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're going to move on to the Finance Committee report and updates.
Okay,
Alan?
Thank you. I will be updating the group with respect to our expenses through the year. So I think we have everything in that I'm aware of, but if anyone has any last expenses associated with the energy fair or otherwise, please email me to them because I'd like to be able to report with sort of a year-end figure.
Yeah, and I did my best at trying to keep track, but without knowing the fixed costs, not exactly sure how we did. It'll be interesting to see where how much we spent. Did we go under? Did we go over? And we did a great job at working with everybody when they wanted to collect their money. So thank you, Amy. Any questions for Alan? Okay, Pat. Emergency grant fund. How is that going?
Well, are either Hazel or Dennis there?
They are not.
No.
Oh, well then it's all I can.
It is you.
No, you can't. Phil and Val.
Yeah,
here.
I'm here. So.
Phil's here. Actually, I thought our meeting went really well. It was our initial meeting, and we had a good group of folks there. One thing I'd love to do is compliment Bill on his follow-up email. He kind of summarized what our discussion was about and asked for a kind of an email conversation to happen between meetings. So I think we're on track. We're going to try to meet once a week. I'm hoping that's not too ambitious. And our, many of our goals are, well, I think we have three. Is that correct, Bill? Like to understand who is actually covered by the emergency grant fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is, what is covered by the fund? And, you know, is the money correct? Are we okay on what the dollars are that are being given out as grants? Kind of went off on a couple of other tangents, you know, as far as the actual accounts, how is that managed? You know, what are balances? Who has signature authority, that type of thing. But I think our initial goal right now is to really look at the charter or the policy, procedure, practice, whatever we want to call it, and make certain we're going in the right direction. So, Phil, did I miss anything?
And those were the three main goals. We had a couple, you know, we talked about the, we got to deal with the auction and so forth, but you hit the major things there very well.
I have a couple of comments about it.
Okay.
This is Beth. First of all, I just want to double check with this group that Kelly Spicer is going to be able to come to the next meeting because she was really eager to attend this meeting and was not appointed yet. And so, I don't know why either.
No, for what?
The Emergency Grant Fund Committee.
Oh, maybe did she fill something out?
She filled something out. I don't know who follows up with that.
She hasn't heard back from anyone yet. She did apply for membership.
Do we know when?
Oh, gosh, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. It would come to me.
Okay, this needs to be followed up because she is so enthusiastic about wanting to help such a great cause and was just couldn't believe she wasn't invited to the meeting. That said, Kelly works for development and
Wait a minute, wait. Beth, can I back up a step?
Yeah.
Kelly was, in fact, invited to the meeting. I need to clear that
she
up.
She doesn't know that.
But she could not make it because she had a conflict.
She did not tell me that.
Okay, well, please make sure that we have that correct. She was
okay.
Openly invited.
Okay.
But she could not come and asked if we could reschedule the meeting to enable her to come. And I could not do that because every member had already committed to that date.
Okay,
so
I'll relay that information. The other thing is that she works for development, and she sent me an email because I'm working with them on a staff staff giving program that's going to start in January, even though this might not be the perfect time. But Charlie Flager has already okayed three places where staff can opt to give money to Cornell. The three places are the student financial aid, student scholarships or something like that, the general fund, and the emergency grant fund. And so she needs to make a connection to the fund committee to make sure this is okay and get all the wording correct in whatever materials they're using. So I just want to throw that out to this group and to you, Pat.
Yeah, and if I could further comment on that, Beth, I also have had a couple of conversations through email with Kelly, and I know that she's quite anxious and quite enthusiastic about moving ahead with this, but I think we're on page one and she's on page 10. And
we need to let her know that.
Well, I try. Not so easy.
Okay. You know what? I can have a side conversation with you about
that would be great.
I have her ear also.
One thing I think is really important to understand is we need to figure out a lot of logistics before we can even bring this to the whole EA. And I think it has to go to the whole EA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not comfortable as chair or a member of that fund making any kind of a commitment to that group until we have the entire EA's approval. So I'm hoping we can take this slow and not necessarily commit to something that we're not necessarily prepared to do.
Right, because when she sent that email to me, I said, you better let that committee know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
And I didn't hear about it until after it had already been decided. So
yeah.
I'm a little uncomfortable with the movement or the quick movement on this.
Okay.
We're just not ready yet to move, so...
Okay.
Be patient with us if we can. Other than that, I think we're on the right track. I think we're moving ahead with the EGF. Dennis has made a strong commitment to stay involved, and I think Dennis will be a wonderful resource as well as Hazel. So we're moving.
Thank you, Pat. And as far as for requests for appointment to the committee, it would go through the offices of assemblies and then come to me, and I haven't received anything, but I'll follow up. All right, Pat, we're going to leave the floor in your hands for the Personnel Policy Committee.
Unfortunately, I have not been able to arrange a meeting, and again, it is because I'm not certain who's on the committee again. There's only two people, or three people, and one is me. So I would ask again if there is any way that either the website can be updated or I can find out who's on that committee so that I can get a meeting scheduled. I don't know who to ask that of.
Who are the other two people you have listed on that committee?
Gosh, I think it's Joe DeMarco and in the Mailer.
Is anybody else in here on that committee?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think.
I'm looking it up.
I thought we had discussed this before, and the list that we have online is the definitive list.
Yeah. I just pulled up the list. We do have Joe DeMarco, Inda, and Pat, and two vacancies.
I remember that I emailed the OA my IOC list, so I believe, like Ari said, that it should be up to date, Pat.
So that's it. Have we made any, have we tried to secure some new members for that committee? Or who's supposed to do that? Am I supposed to do that? If I am, I will be happy to get out there and do it.
Well, the committee vacancies and all our committees are on the website, and interested employees or others in the Cornell community can go on the website and they can view the different committees and the members and the vacancies and then what has to happen and the steps that
they have to follow to try to get appointed to one of these committees. A special article or a caption in paw print could go out, word of mouth, because we do have vacancies. There's lots of different ways of trying to recruit, but then it goes back to how do we communicate with every one of our constituents. And since we don't have a real effective way of doing that, it's kind of piecemeal. But yes, there are two vacancies, and if you do know of interested people, just point them to the website.
Okay, so I will do that. I will do that myself as well. So once I get something pulled together, I will let you know.
But also, Pat, if there's people who are interested in participating, you know, encourage them to come to these meetings and participate. Don't feel like they have to go through the entire process first before they can even go through their first meeting.
Right.
So if you know people are interested or you want to start contacting people you know who may be interested, you know, you can totally feel encouraged to do that.
Is there anybody else on the EA who might be interested?
I might be interested, Jason.
Cool.
Especially if it's back to back to back with ComCom and HP.
Yeah, all committee meetings will meet in one day.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Peter, anything from my office?
I don't have anything to report, but I did want to welcome back Julia for her long respite.
Okay. I can see you.
So, and I think that after the new year, we'll probably start pushing for elections and all the other stuff. Well, not elections, but whatever stuff is coming up. And start, you know, looking at getting new members and keeping our table full, et cetera.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Peter? Okay, University Benefits Committee. Any reports, updates?
I have yet to have the next one.
I'm glad to have you back.
Yeah.
Thank you. Jason, employee education.
As I previously alluded, we're going to have an education meeting soon, back-to-back with Communications Committee. In a previous meeting with Mary Opperman, we heard that they are working to revise the employee education benefit, and I've actually put in a request with Paul Bursick in benefits to meet with him before, and want to do that before the education meeting to find out what the administration is cooking up. And then I'll bring that to the committee and hear the committee's concerns and start a two-way traffic flow of the information from our committee to the EA and to the senior administration. So that looks exciting considering I'm about to start recontinuing my education and we'll have to take advantage of that benefit, which is why I was so interested in chairing this committee. I don't know specifics right now, but one of the concerns was that the employee that brought this to our attention and helped bring the education committee back to life was this inequality of reimbursement of like that everything is based on the TC3 tuition rates, and that just didn't seem to jive with some people if they wanted to take a class at, say, Ithaca College or somewhere else. Is that
anywhere else?
Yeah, anywhere else for some reason. For me, it's going to be Empire State College. I mean, so, you know, where.
Which is more expensive than TC3.
Right, so.
Well, children of employees get more benefits than employees themselves. So
that would be another good benefit or a good thing to discuss.
And these are all the reasons. It is a hot topic. It will benefit a lot of our employees, and that's why we're revitalizing the committee. Jason's chairing it, and he's going to hit it.
So we have two people that are very excited to be part of this committee, and I told them I'd even host the meeting in their building, so it'll be somewhere on Central Campus there, and we'll have an hour education meeting and then an hour communications meeting. So and that's it. So I hopefully by if it happens before the next meeting, I should have a pretty good substantial update on the education front from Paul Bursick and the committee meeting. And
thank you, Jason. Now we're going to move on to our Charter Review Committee. It's either Leon or Pat. Anything?
Go ahead, Leon.
No, we haven't met recently, but actually there is an end in sight. We just have a few pages left to go.
Okay.
Great. We're looking forward to it. You've done a lot of work on that. I'm interested to see what you come up with. That's what you're going to get your recommendations and bring them to the EA, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Excellent. Any questions for Leon or Pat?
In general, are they kind of extensive? The only reason I'm asking is when you do that, you may want to set aside a significant amount of time for that, for that presentation, so we really go over it and so forth. So I don't know. Do you think there's a lot that we're going to be looking at? Or?
Yeah.
So we just plan for when it comes up. I just would like to just plan enough time to really be able to
not do it on the day when we have a presentation, a presenter, or a guest speaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thank
you.
I don't think it's going to be like in one sitting, one meeting.
Yeah.
You maybe give it out to us.
Yeah, you probably would get it in advance and
sure,
look,
okay.
And then yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things too is Ari there?
Yes.
One of the things that Ari is so wonderfully done for us is done like a track change kind of a document, so you can actually see what changes have been made over the period that we've met. So I agree. I think it might be a really wise thing to send that finalized for approval document out to the entire EA to have them take a look at it. And I agree, Leon, it's probably not something we're going to do in one meeting.
Okay. I guess just have a tentative game plan agenda on how you're going to present it to us and what the time frames are and what our requirements are. And
we will.
Outstanding. Thank you. Okay, we made it to old business. Beth is going to give us a update on how the cost-cutting forums have been going this week.
So the cost-cutting forums were suggested at the last EA meeting, and it seemed too complicated at the time, but after thinking about it, I just decided to set up some forums on my own by reserving biotech for free. You can get it if it's less than 2 hours, and announcing it. And that was all I did. EA got on board after their executive meeting, and so these meetings are sponsored by us, but they're perfectly free. And what's happening at these meetings, there are three set up, so two already happened. There's one more tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the big room in biotech. And all of you have been invited to come, and I strongly encourage you to come for two reasons. One is to show that the EA is part of this, because so far the EA has not been. And two is because it's amazing to meet with the people in the committee who are there talking about the specific things that we're working on. These are taking all the suggestions from the suggestion box, gathering suggestions from the people who show up at these meetings, and having some in-depth discussions around it. And what we're encouraging people to do is let people know what's going on. Let people know that the university is serious about finding non-personnel ways to save money to save jobs. Every, $50,000 you save saves somebody benefits and salary. And so this is a big deal. The committee that that we are on is meeting also weekly, sometimes twice in a week, to pull together this report by December 23rd. And so these meetings or sessions, they're not really called a forum. These sessions are really kind of a PR thing. It will be there have been reporters at both sessions and photographers at both sessions, a way that we as the UA and the trust, as the EA and the trustee are engaging with the staff to gather ideas. Turnout has been pretty poor, but the conversations have been phenomenal. So even if we have a handful of people there, generating great discussion.
You said tomorrow at 1?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow at 1, I urge you. If you can, I'm on the cost savings and efficiencies committee.
Biotech, the big group.
Yeah, I'm on that committee with that. I have not been to one because of work and what's going on. But I urge everyone to come. This committee exists to benefit, as Beth mentioned, possible employee jobs as the economic crisis continues.
every idea is on the table until the senior staff take it off the table.
Right.
So for example, one crazy idea that some crazy person had was to sell the Gettysburg Address. That's probably going to be taken off the table, but it's on the table until someone takes it. So it is.
I have a room. We have a copy of the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah, Cornell owns a copy of the Gettysburg Address.
I have a spot for it on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can afford it.
Yeah. I think it's one of six copies.
The goal, though, of the committee is to come up with ways to save $5 million in year one, followed by that same $5 million plus another $5 million year two and another $5 million year three for a continued savings of $50 million a year every year from then on. And we're doing it through procurement. We will be doing it through procurement changes, IT changes, and a whole bunch of other categories.
Best practices.
Best practices, eliminating certain work.
And as Beth said, there's no idea that is not an idea that will be considered.
So as representatives of the employees, we need to get out there and just let people know to fill out the suggestion box, start conversations around it. If you don't want to do the suggestion box, email me, and it will wind up in that database.
Were there any students that you noticed?
No. We'll have my student there.
Do you have
to
send out the link to that suggestion box?
It's on the CU Info homepage, which is where you should have your the CU Info. I call it the homepage. The CU Info.
It's a job form,
and
that people do, but I think it would be great to
send
that on to people.
And the last one's tomorrow.
But the box is still open.
The box
is still open,
yes.
Yeah.
Is there, in fact, a commitment or some protocol whereby if there were to be $1 million in savings, that would be transferred into job savings? I mean, how amorphous is this?
That question sort of came up today. Tom Romantic is one of the chairs of the committee, and he said, because it's hard to capture savings, let's say your department saves $3,000 by not printing something.
Right.
How does that save someone's job in the vet college? He was told, because he asked the very same question to senior staff, and they said, don't worry about that. We'll worry about that. So I don't know the answer to that, except that we're all being asked to save. And, I don't know if anybody does any sort of business type work in their units, but you know what object codes are?
Uh-huh.
Where you have to submit something. The university can look up 6670 supplies and materials and say across the board how much we're spending on 6670. And so it doesn't matter whose budget it's in. And so that might be part of it.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. The question is, once those savings are made, is there an assurance that they're going to be translated into non-personnel costs? Or
I don't have an answer for that.
Yeah,
either, because if the year one cost savings are made, they come at the end of this year coming up. Whatever jobs may have been cut within this year, the savings aren't going to affect us. And then we don't know what the situation will be on year two as far as positions and the economic crisis affecting employee positions in year two, but the savings won't take effect. You know, the overall savings won't be there. Maybe we'll be hiring on additional employees in a year. We don't. I don't know how everything.
So remember, the budget cuts are coming in from many different directions: the funding, the grants, the gift giving, and the state cuts. And so, between everything that Human Resources is doing to make sure that anybody who loses a job for no reason of their own fault, have an opportunity to find another position here at Cornell, and then as people leave Cornell, not fill some of those positions. She's trying to do it in the most positive way possible to rein ourselves in and take care of ourselves. This is going to help that, but in the meetings next week, I will tell you that the trustees will know, because they have looked into the finances of Cornell deeper than they've ever looked before. They know
where all the money is, they know what all the money's doing, they know so much about this budget, more than they've ever known, and of course I know more than I've ever known, that it might, some other decisions might emerge around it.
So we urge everyone to fill up the last one tomorrow at 1.
1 to what? 2?
1 to 2.
Now we'll move on to evaluating the EA's priorities. We have just a couple minutes. And then real quick on this, the last one for these cost savings get-togethers, forums, sessions is tomorrow at 1, but it doesn't have to be the last one that Beth and the EA can push. This is a time when the employee assembly need to reach out to our constituents more so than any other time that I've known of here at Cornell. So it's possible we could have these type of forums with a different type of theme or a different topic, the same topic, in the future, and that's what I'm going to suggest as one of our new EA priority goals. But that's obviously adopted by everybody, but that along that line.
One of the things that came up in the communications meeting, and Tommy Bruce were talking about brainstorming all these ways to communicate. The email, the this, the opt-in, the opt-out. And he said people forgot about just talking to people face-to-face. And I think that we can capitalize on that if we can, you know, figure out a way to get people face-to-face. So I think that's a great idea.
All right, so we're running out of time, but I didn't want to talk too much about this anyway. Remember our spreadsheet from the retreat of the priorities? I'm looking at just the top 20, and it doesn't look so bad. I mean, given everything that we've been massively doing the last few weeks, there's a lot of things that we could circle that we've been doing in this top 20. So what I'd want to do is get this old copy of the spreadsheet from Bill, because it has your name on it at the bottom, and see if we can start revising this. And there, I see some redundancy. There's some administrative cleanup, and we can get to a point of getting this printed out for another meeting, and we keep this on as old business. If I go down the list,
name the top.
The top 20 is the first one: provide mechanism for staff to bring issues to the appropriate place.
Is this in order?
Yes, that's the number one average. Well, 2 is tied. With President's Address.
Okay.
We just finished the President's Address. We've got forums. We've got all sorts of outreach going on in different capacities. Number 3, identify who we represent. That's kind of coming out of some of the charter review and maybe some of the reorg. Number 4, establish mechanism to track progress on the goals. This document right here. 5, the tuition reimbursement initiative. That's going to be coming up in the Education Committee meeting that I previously talked about. 6, improve relations with all Cornell assemblies. I think that's happening with our leadership breakfasts and the cross-communication and the new email lists of the assembly. I mean, things are just communicating all over the place. The next one, accountability and follow-through from each EA member.
Let's give us one more. Yeah.
Finish Chili Chat, which we did. The wrap-up and final report. Got some other things in the lower one, email list, charter review, hear the concerns of employees. We are all actively doing all of that right now. So.
Yeah, and before, thank you, Jason. Yeah, Bill, so you're going to send that out, right?
Yes.
Okay. And keep this in mind as you think of new ideas, that some of these are internal processes that aren't necessarily or don't necessarily belong in our top 5 list. I always like to go with the top 5. Establish a mechanism to track. I mean, that's not a top 5 priority anymore. That's being done. It's gone. We just got to keep it on the list to make sure we got to keep tracking our mechanism to track. But in place of that is something new that I would like everyone to think about and send me your ideas through email or bring them to next meeting as far as reaching out to our employees to help them through this time.
Yeah.
Any questions? Sorry we didn't really get to open forum, but I'm willing to stay after or hear anything now.
Speak now.
With that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye. Bye.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.